So I'm John, I'm from Nail. Just before we go any further, could I ask anybody just to raise your hands before tonight, who had heard of Nail? All right, okay, that's it. We held a public meeting 6 months ago, and that's really when we pretty much launched our campaign, and we've just absolutely mushroomed, and we've been getting lots of publicity, so that's great. That I think didn't see many hands that weren't up then. Just briefly, if you wouldn't mind, if anybody's got a mobile, if you've got a mobile phone, if you wouldn't mind just turning it off, please, that'd be great. I'm going to start talking first. If you've got any burning issues, then please put your hand up and we'll answer it. But ideally, we want to say what we want to say and leave the questions and answers to the end, if that's okay. If you need to leave before the end, we've got some sample letters here. If you object to the application, and there's also a list of the planning officers' details and the councillors. So please take that away with you. Ideally, write a letter in your own words, maybe using some of the points in our letters, and object yourself. Or simply sign a letter, take that away, or sign a letter with your name and address on it. Leave it with us. We'll copy it and send it to all the councillors. So the process is still going on, and there is still time to object. Okay, so I'm going to talk a bit about who Nail is and why we're so fiercely opposing this incinerator expansion. And then some of the successes that we've achieved. If you'd like to come in. Nigel will then go on and talk about the process, the planning process, and what's called the pollution prevention control process. And Kay will talk about some of the things that Nail has done in the past few months and what you can still do to forward the campaign. Okay, so why are we so... why are we here? Well, Waste Recycling Group, which owns the incinerator just down the road, currently got two lines. They burn 150,000 tonnes of commercial and domestic waste, which is... mainly comes from Nottingham, mainly from the city. They want to expand the incinerator, and they want to burn another 100,000 tonnes a year. They want to import waste into Nottingham from surrounding areas. And to do that, they actually want to build a third line. So they want to build a third incinerator. We're totally opposed to incineration. Why? It's highly polluting. It poses significant risk to human health. And it's completely unnecessary. And it's very poorly regulated. There's a myth in the industry that you send everything to an incinerator, you burn it, and it disappears. About 35% of what goes into an incinerator remains. It drops to the bottom. And some of it is so highly contaminated with poisons, it has to go to a toxic landfill site. The rest is broken down, it's spewed out the chimney, and it's dispersed in the atmosphere, and it relies on diluting that, put those poisons and spreading them across the countryside. If WRG and the Environment Agency were here, they would say there's nothing to worry about, it doesn't pose a risk to human health. Well, if that's the case, why have you got a 200-foot high chimney? I'm not a scientist, I'm not a scientist or a doctor, but I know that spewing out cadmium, mercury, thallium, dioxins, PCBs, chromium, the list goes on, is not good for your health. And ultimately, we don't need incinerators. We live in a completely and utterly unsustainable life. We cannot continue ripping resources out of the earth and using them once and destroying them, burning them or burying them in the ground. We're still cutting down rainforests around the world to make cardboard, to make paper, to make wood. And in the city, instead of conserving those resources and recycling them, we simply want to burn them, pollute our air, and trash more rainforest to get more paper. We've got a massive energy crisis. We're running out of oil. We've gone to war in Iraq for more oil. We've got huge problems with climate change. A 20th of the world's oil reserves goes on making plastics. Yet, in Nottingham, we choose to burn those plastics, pollute our air, and consume more oil to make more plastics. Incinerators are poorly regulated. They emit thousands and thousands of different compounds and chemicals. You would expect that they're all measured and constantly monitored. Well, out of those thousands of poisons, there's only six that are constantly monitored. Six. And some of the most toxic, like dioxins, which is the most, dioxins are classified by the World Health Authority as the most cancerous substance known to science, is measured twice a year by the Environment Agency, sorry, twice a year by Waste Recycling Group for a few hours, and only measured once a year by the Environment Agency. The Environment Agency, the regulators, only go in once a year and do spot checks on a few, on a handful of poisons. In one of those checks last March, a year ago, they measured the dioxins and the emissions were 900% above their allowable level. Now, because that is only measured, sampled by the Environment Agency once a year, that breach could have gone on for months and months without us knowing about it. And like I said, dioxins are the most cancerous substance known to science. Beechcroft Incinerator has had 31 pollution breaches in the past 4 years. And that was up to the end of last year. And like one of them was for dioxins, they've had many other breaches. Yet, the Environment Agency, the policeman or the regulator have done very little except issue warning letters. The plant still exists, the plant is still operating. In the past 4 years, the Environment Agency have issued 18 site warnings to 12 incinerators across the country. And out of those 12 incinerators and those 18 site warnings, 6 were for Beechcroft. And in addition, last year they also received 2 warning letters. Yet the plant still operates. The emission levels set for incinerators aren't what is safe or what is isn't what is safe. It is the levels are set on what is technically or economically achievable. You cannot have a safe level for mercury or for thalliums or for heavy metals, dioxins. And the levels are set here. So if you're a caring company and you care about the environment, you'd be operating right down here. You'd be doing everything you can to remove as much toxins as you can. But no, they don't want to do that. They operate there. And occasionally they go above it and they breach an emission. The reason why they operate there is because down there costs them more money. Incinerators basically turn waste into poisons for the public and profit for shareholders. So, okay, that's a horrible thing, you know, it's dirty incinerator, totally against it. But just imagine for one moment that it only emitted fresh air, as maybe Waste Recycling Group would like you to believe. At the end of the day, we live in a completely, utterly unsustainable life. We have to recycle. Out of 400 local authorities, Nottingham City came about 340th from in the league of recycling. And they were about 3% above the lowest local authority in the country. Over the road, we've got Rushcliffe Borough Council, achieves 52% recycling. And it's got an aspiration for 80%. It can be done. Over 80% is achievable. Nottingham City achieves a pitiful 14%. The reason being is it's got a massive contract. It's got a 60-year contract with Waste Recycling Group to burn the waste. Everybody here, as taxpayers, we are paying for our waste to go to that incinerator to be burned. If the waste doesn't go to the incinerator, we are penalised because Waste Recycling Group want the energy. They want the waste. The City Council then have to buy the heat back. They have to buy the heat back from the waste, our waste that's burnt. And then it sells that heat on. And just the cost of buying back that heat and selling it at a loss has cost us £5 million. £5 million in the past 4 years. So we're actually paying for our air to be poisoned. So this third line, there's no more waste in Nottingham to be burnt, because the city's waste is already burnt at the incinerator. They've got to increase recycling rates. It was in the Evening Post the other day that Nottingham City has put all this money aside and increasing its recycling rates, and it's going for 18%. Sounds great. Unfortunately, what they didn't tell you is that's the statutory minimum. That's what they're being forced to by government. They've always dragged their heels, so they've always only met the statutory minimum. So there's no waste in Nottingham. There's no waste in the county, because Nottingham County is negotiating with another company to have its waste recycled and incinerated, and that's subject to another campaign in Mansfield. So WRG actually want to import the waste. They want to import it from Lincolnshire, Leicestershire, Derbyshire. So we're going to, there's going to be another 106 vehicle movements a day, bringing waste in from surrounding areas to burn in Nottingham. So there are alternatives. We don't need to burn waste. Why are we doing this? Well, the government and local authorities have got themselves into a right mess. They've been dragging their heels for decades. We've got appalling recycling rates, the whole country. There's only Greece and Portugal that recycle less than is in Europe. Now we've got the European Landfill Directive, which is coming into force, which will impose massive fines on local authorities if they don't reduce their recycling rates. Sorry, if they don't reduce their landfill rates. So the government is incentivizing the growth in incineration. It's a quick fix solution. The government actually wants to increase incineration from 9 to 25%, and is incinerators being proposed across the country. Okay, I'll just move on to some of the successes of NAIL. Obviously, one of them is the fact that everybody here, well, most people here have heard of us. We started off in 2002. We've now got an online membership that people have signed on via our website of about 850 people now. I appreciate there's lots of people who haven't got access to the internet. We don't have huge amounts of funds. We would love to send newsletters out, but we're not a multi-million pound company like WRG. But it's something we are looking at. If you want to be kept in touch with the campaign, please leave your details. If you've got access to email, that's great for us. We can send out newsletters, it's free. But please leave your details, and then we can forward further information to you. So we've grown massively. We've had loads of publicity. We've been in the Evening Post a lot. We've been on Radio Trent a lot. We've been on Radio Nottingham a lot. We've been in The Guardian. I was interviewed on Radio 2, Radio 3, Radio 4. I did a live interview on Radio 5 Live. And the other day I was actually phoned up by Australian Broadcasting Company. They couldn't believe what the UK was doing, the fact that we were looking to triple the amount of incineration in the country, and that has gone international. So the Australian Broadcasting Company, the equivalent of the BBC, are doing a documentary in Australia. We've set up a sister group in Norwich where WRG are also proposing another incinerator. So we've got a committee of over 30 people. So we've grown massively, and we're still a voluntary group, and we've limited funds, but we still welcome people. If you want to help us, there's lots that we can do. There's lots more we can do with more help. Okay, I'd like to move on now and over to Nigel, who will update you on the process, the official process that WRG have to go through. Hello, Pussycat.
Right, I just want to very briefly go over some of the technical details. Some of you will have heard this before, so I will try to be as brief as possible, just to update you on basically the two sides of the process that the WRG have to go through to license their existing incinerator and the expansion of the incinerator. One is they have to get what's known as a PPC license, which is European requirement, which is given by the Environment Agency. And the Environment Agency would say, well, they don't really have any choice. If the kit complies with the rules, then they have to give them the license. And that is roughly what happened. At the end of December, they got a license to carry on operating the incinerator as it is. But also, in principle, the agency said, if they expand with their extra furnace to burn another 100,000 tonnes, then the agency, in principle, will allow them to do that. They still have to get over the hurdle of when it's actually in operation. The agency has to come and check that it's working as they say it's going to work. But provided they do that, they've got over that hurdle with the Environment Agency. It has meant, those new rules, that they have to comply with slightly stricter rules. They have to reduce the amount of nitrogen dioxide coming out of the chimney. And also, they've had some restrictions on what sort of waste they can burn. And the agency said, certainly as far as the current incinerator is concerned, they can only burn up to 2% of commercial and industrial waste, because it's designed for mixed municipal waste, which is, by and large, what they're being required to burn. And they should not burn recyclable waste like packaging that they'd be only too pleased to burn in their incinerator, if that could be recycled. So certainly as a, other than as a one-off, they should not be burning anything which could be and should be recycled. What that doesn't mean, of course, is what John was talking about, that the council should be collecting a lot more from us as recycled materials, separating them and recycling them. But when it's delivered to WRG, it's just delivered as mixed waste, and the agency says, that's all right, even though most of what's in there could be recycled, it's all mixed up, and now it's mixed up, it can't be recycled, so it's okay to burn it. And the incinerator celebrated getting its licence just at Christmas time by bursting its old boiler tubes, because WRG haven't done the adequate maintenance and replacement that they need to in order to maintain the kit they've got at the moment, and the boiler tubes burst and caused carbon monoxide poisoning to come out of the chimney, and it was closed down for a while. In fact, if you looked as you came in, you might have spotted that there isn't actually any smoke coming out of the Eastcroft incinerator. And the question there is this due to the success of our campaign, that we've caused them finally to clean up what they're sending up the chimney, or is it that their dodgy old kit has gone wrong again? And I was told just less than a couple of hours ago, just as I was coming here, by a well-informed source, who will remain nameless, that in fact it's their boiler tubes that have gone again, that the incinerator has bust again. As a result, and this is only a rumour, so don't repeat it, we will be checking this out tomorrow, it's caused the City Council to actually pursue litigation that they were threatening last year. Now, I'm not sure whether they have actually gone ahead with this, but last year the incinerator was down for a few weeks to remove asbestos. And as a result of that, the council had to send their waste to landfill, for which they have to pay a lot more in landfill fees. And as a result, we're going to take questions at the end, so we will take questions, but when we finish. As a result of the increased costs on the council, because they weren't able to take that waste to the incinerator, they said, we are going to sue WRG. Now, in the end, I think they decided perhaps not to do that, but I'm told that as a result of it going down again, if that's true, that the council might be in litigation, which might have an effect on the planning application, because it's the council that has to decide on the planning permission. It might be that one of the councillors will have to declare an interest and not be part of the decision because they're engaged in litigation with WRG. We don't know. To come on to the current position with the planning application, which is the other hurdle that WRG have to get over in order to build the third line at the incinerator, they need planning permission. We had thought that that was going to go to the Development Control Committee, which meets next week, just after Easter. And it seems that that is now not the case. There are a number of reasons for that.
And they've got the licence from the Environment Agency. Just to put people in the picture, I just thought you'd like to know that they've been given planning permission. My name's Jerry White.
Sorry, they haven't been
given planning permission, and Tanya Montgomery of the Environment Agency.
Sorry, we'll take
contribution for the licence. Would you like to know that, ladies and gentlemen?
We'll take contributions from the floor at the end. The Environment Agency have given them the licence to operate the present incinerator,
and the extended one.
And they, in principle, will allow them the extended one. They've obviously got planning permission from a long time ago for the present incinerator, but for the extended incinerator, they have not yet got the planning permission, which is what we are campaigning.
Jerry, sorry, we'll cover you up at the end, if that's okay.
We had thought that that decision on the planning permission would be going to the Development Control Committee next week, and it appears that that is not the case. So the council is getting cold feet. They used to be in favour of an expanded incinerator. It's a quick and easy way, like John said, of getting rid of the waste. It produces some heat. Two problems solved, as they thought. Apart from the increased problems they've got with whether they can sell the heat and the losses they're making on the heat side of the operation. But they now are getting worried about, first of all, the idea of importing waste from other counties, not even just from other parts of Nottinghamshire, importing waste from Derbyshire, Lincolnshire, Leicestershire. The City Council, I don't think, want to give them permission to do that, and they're looking very carefully at what the planning rules, which are actually laid down by the government, allow them to do in terms of can they stop them bringing in waste from such a long distance. And also, they're concerned about are they going to burn commercial and industrial waste. Like I said, the Environment Agency at the moment has said that the WRG can only burn up to 2% of commercial industrial waste in the present incinerator. And it's quite likely that there will be similar restrictions on the new incinerator, which means they won't be able to burn commercial industrial waste, thank goodness, in the incinerator, which means they won't be able to get the additional waste locally in that way. So the council is looking at that further information. But this other information, I don't know whether it is just a rumour or information, but there might be some litigation which might take some time. I have no idea what that will do to the planning process. But our campaign goes on. They haven't got planning permission. They're not going to go for planning permission next week. It looks as though it might be some time, but it could be next month. We don't know. And as John said, we've got letters here that we want people to sign before they go away. Or alternatively, take them away and write your own letter and send it in to the council. The other thing that you can do, if and when the incinerator gets back online and starts producing smoke, if you see dark smoke coming out of the incinerator, or if you see smells, or smells, or see dust or whatever that you think is associated with the incinerator, it's quite important to inform the Environment Agency. And there's this hotline number here, 0800 80 70 60. Because there are lots of people who make complaints about things that they think are caused by the incinerator. The Environment Agency say, we don't know about these. So it's quite important that people have got complaints, that they phone up the agency, and that at least the agency should then do some sort of investigation. So do that and sign these letters before you go, and I'll hand on to Ken.
Thank you.
Can you see me if I don't stand up? You all want to know what we've been on about for the last 6 months, what we've been up to, really. And we want to give you a quick rundown of what NAIL's been up to since September. The main thing that we're quite pleased about is the fact that we have put the planning process back by several months, at least sort of 5 or 6 months now, as Nigel was just saying. Thank you, Elsa. Thank you, Dan. Nigel was just saying they're meant to make a decision, we thought, next week, but that's not going to happen now. So it could go on to May, it could go on for another couple of months. And that's mainly down, we believe, to a lot of questions that we've been asking. The public have asked us questions, we've asked, therefore, the committee, and they haven't been able to answer them satisfactorily yet. So the planning process has been put back by quite a long time, and that's our main achievement as far as we're concerned, and we're really pleased about that. There's more that we can do, and I'll go on to that in a second. Some of you were at the first public meeting in September down at the Hermitage. That's when I got involved and signed up, and somebody twisted my arm, and here we are 6 months later. We've had lots of banners over Snenton Boulevard. You've perhaps seen the one on outside our friend of ours' house, which has been fantastic. There's more banners around Snenton, some by the pub at other people's houses, and there's other ones wanting to go round the city to raise awareness of the fact that we want clean air. We need clean air around this area, and Snenton, unfortunately, is one of the worst affected areas. So it's just about raising awareness and getting some colour as well around here. They look fantastic, I think you'll all agree. We were appalled by the Environment Agency's complete lack of action. John's already mentioned that. And so we picketed the Environment Agency one morning, bright and early, and we contacted their staff and we let them know how we felt, and that was on the radio as well and on TV. We had a meeting after that picket with the Environment Agency and sort of asked them why it is they don't regulate as often as we'd like them to, why it is they don't regulate and use their authority, as they have got the authority to close that incinerator down. They don't really do that, and as John was saying, they've sent out lots of letters. We'd like to see more action. You know, they have that power. We want to see them regulate it properly. We had a community rubbish day here, which was fantastic. We had a fantastic amount of people coming from the local area and wider, and that was broadcast on the radio, on TV. We had a demo night at Blueprint Nightclub, and we raised a lot of awareness there, made some funds, which were very welcome. As John was saying, we're voluntary and we haven't got a lot of money, which is why email is our main media. Unfortunately, we don't have the sources to do anything else, so I'm sorry if you can't get hold of us on our website, but we have that because it's free. Over 3,000 people signed our petition. Some of you, I think, may have been part of that, so thank you very much if you did sign it. We handed that into the council a couple of weeks ago, and that's been officially given now to the council, and it's been handed over to the committee. And also, we've had more banner drops around Centon, as I said, on Lord Nelson Street and other areas. So the more you see them, please, you know, point them out to people and say, this is why this banner is here. We want to try and stop the expansion of the incinerator. You're probably wondering what you can all do now. I'm sure you're all eager and ready to just rush off and do lots of things to help Nail. The main thing that I think you need to do is, as Nigel said, if you see smoke coming out of the incinerator, you have that taste, that tang in the air, that smell around you as you walk around the city, you have dust on your windows, on your cars, on your washing outside, contact the Environment Agency. That number again is 0800 80 70 60. The one thing the EA said to us was that they hadn't had any complaints, so they weren't going to follow anything up. We need to complain to the right people and make sure they're aware that we're having problems like dust and smoke, because the more they say it's not happening, the more WRG and other people say it's okay to burn this waste that we have. Write a letter to your local councillor. Write a letter to the Development Control Committee. We have three versions of a very similar thing on these tables at the front. Some of you have seen them already. If you were just to sign them, put your address on them, and either leave them with us, we'll make sure they go out to everybody on the committee. Take them away, by all means, and send them yourself. If you want to write your own letter, that's even better, because the more people write their own thoughts, the better it looks. People that are receiving those letters, but please help yourself. We've printed off copies for you to take away. Give us your details so we can keep in touch. We'd love to let you know what's going on. Nail Mail has over 800, I think, 850 members now, which is fantastic. There are other ways we can get hold of you if we need to, so please either join the committee, you're very welcome, join Nail Mail, tell your friends, tell your neighbours, make sure everyone knows what Eastcroft Incinerator is. It's just that chimney, that cigarette sort of chimney at the BBC London Road, Ireland. Some people don't even know what it is. And the fact that, you know, it's burning stuff, it doesn't necessarily need to be burned. You can help us hand out flyers. You've all had a flyer, I think, this evening to come to this meeting. It took us quite a while to deliver them. We'd love some more people power, you know. Donate some money as well as your time. We are very grateful for anything that you want to offer to us to help you get involved. Finally, as well, contact your local councillor at surgeries, visit their surgeries, make this an election issue. It's not at the moment, as far as we know. The council don't seem hugely concerned about it being an election issue. Your local councillor needs to know how you feel. If you're a local person, if you live in their constituency, let them know how you feel. The councillor's details and their surgery days and times and venues are all on the Nail website, which is www.nail.uk.net. And the City Council has a really easy number to remember if you want to contact your local councillor. That's 915-555-555-555. So you can contact them and find out and let them know how you feel. The thing that I think that we haven't talked about is something that we think that you guys could also do, is to recycle as much as you possibly can. If you don't already, please start. It doesn't take very long. It won't be too much difficulty. And I think in this area particularly, there's not a lot of places to take your recycling. But if you make the effort, take it to the Bring Centre, I think at Quicksave, I think they're somewhere else. I'm not from Centon, I'm sorry. But at Morrison's in Colwick, you know, in the city, there are Bring sites. Please take your recycling. Sorry, Anna. Carlton Hill, there you go. Close places. The best things for the incinerator to burn are paper. things like that that can be recycled. The more stuff that we give to the incinerator to burn, the more things they'll be saying is that, well, we can burn all of this waste. We can continue to incinerate, and we don't need to. So that's about a cultural change for us, I think, as individual people. But that's the one thing that you can really do to make sure there's no need for more incineration in this city. Some of you want questions and answers. We've asked somebody to just take down the questions as you ask them. And because the council can't be here and because the EA couldn't be here, we're going to try and do our best to make sure they see what your questions are. And what we'll do is we'll take one at a time. I know that you're keen to ask something. But if our colleague is going to write, is that okay? Okay.
Just 2 points and then I'll chair the question if that's okay, Jerry. The point about the poor recycling facilities in Snenton is across the city. And I mentioned earlier, the City Council has a contract, a 60-year contract. In its wisdom, signed a 60-year contract to send its waste to Easecroft. That doesn't run out till 2032. If the city provides loads of recycling facilities, it can't provide the waste and it will be financially penalised. And on the banners, we mentioned about the banners, you know, we're a voluntary campaign, we've got to try and get that message out, and hopefully we're doing that now. We put a few banners out, and it's amazing the stir that's caused. We've had the City Council banging on our doors, we've had the Department of Transport, we've had the police, and yet when that's had 32 pollution breaches, they get a letter. That puts it into context. So we're doing now. We'll just start the question and answer session. And if you like, start, Jerry.
I have to come in. I am one of the few engineers in Nottingham that work on the original incinerator and district heating. Right? If you've got anybody from the post checking them, please do. Yeah. Because at the present time, the City Council is paying waste recycling £1.5 million a year to dump usable steam in the canal at London Road. When the incinerator was originally designed, it was to supply steam to the Queen's Medical Centre, right? Which would have been a steam and condensate made up the canal and up the Lea. Unfortunately, due to various malpractices by a alderman called Derbyshire, the incinerator was scrapped. I resigned from the City Council in 1973, and I went to work for some consulting engineers called E.G. Phillips. Lo and behold, my first project was a steam boiler house at the Queen's Medical Centre because the incinerator didn't bloody work. My drinking colleague, who worked for, at that time, Hoffing and Gravels, took my word for it, and he bought up with Harold Neaver every quarry he could find to dump rubbish in. He finished up as managing director at Hoffing and Gravels. At the present time, there is £1.5 million worth of steam going in the canal that ought to go to the teaching hospital.
Okay,
wait a minute.
Yep.
The chair of the council committee, Councillor Hartshorn, said it ought to go to the Queen's Medical Centre, but we haven't got a bloody engineer capable of doing it. Does that answer it? So now we're going to pay another £750,000 for waste to go into that bloody canal.
That cost you're talking about, the £1.5 million, is obviously the cost to buy back the energy, as you quite rightly point. Yeah, but we're also paying for the waste to go there in the first place. But yes, thank you. Good point. Thank you, Jerry. Okay. Gentleman here.
There's been numerous reports about these incinerators. What has happened is that the company is taking what I call dioxin waste, I should call it, or cancer producing waste from other areas into this incinerator. I enjoy it. what has happened, you see, the dioxins spread. Now, when there's a high wind, the dioxin and the cancer and the cancer and the leukemia producing agents. If you get an upwind, if you go over West Bridgeford, if you go over Wilford, and if it's a strong wind, if you go and spread up towards as far as Coulton, which is now working on that. Right? Now, these cancer producing agents also, there's a dioxin that is going into this incinerator, which will be produced, which we use to defoliate the forest of Vietnam. No, it's right. Now, you ask yourself, why should the company bring all the waste from other areas? And basically, what you get is, well, it's nimby, nothing in my backyard, boy. Why should we take it?
Our stance on that is, yeah, it's not just not in our backyard. Is we don't need incineration full stop. We don't want the incinerator here. We don't want an incinerator full stop. We are both fighting incinerator campaigns across the country. But yeah, very good points. But it's not. We're not saying we don't want an incinerator here. It should be out in the country. We don't want an incinerator full stop because we don't need them as well as all the issues. As you quite rightly point, of dioxins.
Dioxins. I say, they are cancer producing agents, and they are leukemia producing. Now, in Belgium, it was closed down, the incinerator was closed down, because there was children that were coming, sitting in Belgium, and was, working. There was more leukemia produced, and more cancer produced in children. Also, this incinerator is being built. Basically, nothing subsidised, nothing reinvested, but subsidised to about £800,000 a year.
Yep.
Simple as that. Okay. Now, I'm against it, basically, because basically, I don't see why my city should be used as a dumping ground for other areas. They want to push their waste, push it their way over.
Thank you. Sorry, Ali, then this gentleman here, and the guy at the back. Sorry, the lady at the back with the ginger hair.
I just want to say, John, I agree with this gentleman.
Yeah.
You know, if this deal gets caught out of it, then I think I see this as a totally a disaster for this area. We already have higher proportion of asthma sufferers in this area and other respiratory-related illnesses. I don't want to allow you. You know, this is a really good area to live. But, you know, we must highlight the problem. We simply can't sweep the problem under the carpet. So if this scheme gets to us, it's a disaster. Yeah. And we must work together. Yeah. Like they explained, please, write back to the union post, get in touch with your MP, your local councillors, and let's work together and let's keep
On that point, one of the things you can do is write to the Union Post and ask why the two important public bodies weren't here. It's gentleman here, then the lady with the ginger hair.
Yeah, I've just got a quick question. I don't know if you
can answer it. I'll try. Well, we'll try.
You have given us the information that for the import of this waste, a lot of it couldn't come from Nottinghamshire because they've got this contract now with Onyx. Has there been any viability studies about relating to surrounding councils about the kind of contracts they've got? Because it seems to me if Nottinghamshire tied into a 60-year contract, if Nottinghamshire have signed a 20-odd-year contract with Onyx, I find it quite remarkable if Leicestershire, Lincolnshire, Derbyshire don't have contracts themselves at the moment and wouldn't have the waste to actually outsource to WRG. Is there any information on that?
I think Derbyshire doesn't have contracts at the moment, so Derbyshire and Derby City are currently looking at what their waste management system should be, but they are looking at doing whatever they're going to do within Derbyshire. They are not asking people to export their waste to Nottinghamshire or anywhere else, as far as I know. Lincolnshire, something similar. Leicester City already have a long-term contract with Biffa, and I'm not sure about Leicestershire, the county. So In fact, the amount of waste that's available, that might become available because it's not tied down by contract, is not as much as WRG is saying, but there are still authorities that haven't got tied down by long-term contract.
That's what we're asking, whether or not it could, they could get it for 30 years.
WRG have been very cagey on this. To give a bit of history here, the county's contract was up for renewal. WRG was tendering for that contract. They wanted the Nottingham County's waste contract, and that's why they proposed this third line. Just before the application went in, they found out they'd lost the contract. So now they've gone ahead with the planning application, but there's no mention of where this waste is going to come from. We keep asking the question. We've asked, where is the waste going to come from? Where are you going to bury the toxic waste that you produce? And we haven't had those questions answered.
And also, WRG haven't had any memorandums of agreement with the local authorities within that 35 miles to say, yes, of course we'll give you our waste. So that also adds to it. They don't have any agreement, no one else has agreed to it. We're asking them why it's necessary. So part of that is really kind of hinging on it. And that's one question that the control committee are actually considering now, which is why it's taken them so long to come to a decision, because they can't find the answers to it.
Sorry, Jay,
other questions?
There's two other people, sorry.
It's all right, I'm just going to say that I closed the clinical waste incinerator at Derby Royal Infirmary. I closed the clinical waste incinerator at Nottingham City Hospital, which cost the Health Authority millions, and I would suggest that people at the meeting give very serious consideration to White Rose Clinical Incinerator at East Cross. Yep. And with that, I am going.
Hi,
thank you.
Thanks, Jerry.
New committee members.
On that, sorry, before I go to the lady there, the gentleman whose hand up. What people aren't aware of is actually already three incinerators there. Jerry spoke about White Rose. There's also a clinical waste incinerator there that burns hospital waste, including that is radioactive waste. But that's another issue. So, sorry, the lady there. Yes, sorry. Absolutely.
Exactly. They can have a planning commission to make it look like this, but we want to see a vast 300% improvement in technology to provide a clean burning incinerator.
I'll pass on to Nigel in a moment. Sounds like you should be on our committee, actually. But I agree with all that. Totally agree with all that lot. I would argue the fact that that yes, you should provide, we should stop the third line, we should phase out the existing two incinerators and the medical waste incinerator, and yes, we should have far better air quality management, and yes, we should have DNOX. They have put some DNOX process in. There's no FGD process, that's flue gas desulfurisation for removing the sulfur dioxide that causes acid rain. Unfortunately, they only have to comply with the latest regulations, and which is the current waste incinerator directive. They always meet the minimum standards, and that's a legal requirement. That's all they have to do by law.
And that's a government thing. It's something that we can say to the government about if we...
Well, it's the Environment Agency now, but yes, we've had meetings with the Environment Agency, and the Environment Agency have given the existing two lines and the third line a new PPC licence because it complies with the minimum regulations, unfortunately. And those regulations, the problem is the regulations aren't sufficient enough. Sorry, the gentleman at the back first. So yes, you. Sorry. Totally agree. There is lots of things that we want to do as a campaign. We're limited by the amount of time we've got raw volunteers, and we thought about that one. Totally agree with you. There's a lot of big investment, a lot of very expensive properties. Do people really want to live next to an incinerator? We've also got the expansion of Victoria Centre. Sorry, not Victoria Centre, Broad Marsh. You know, let's talk to the major people who are becoming investing in that. Do they really want to be buying the heat from this third line when basically what they'll be doing, they'll be investing in an incinerator with poisoning the residents? So there's lots we want to do, and there's a lot more things in the pipeline, and yes, that is one of them.
Now, as I say, I'm talking about the dioxin and the toxic waste. I was out of the wind. Now, basically, as I say, the wind, it affects West Bristol, didn't it, for a start? It affects Arnold.
It affects the whole... The gas has spread far, and obviously, the further they go away, they get more and more diluted. But we know from from Waste Recycling Group's own environmental impact assessment, where they have to look at the wind directions, the height of the land, the height of the buildings, the vast majority of the waste comes over here and is dropped in Snenton. We've looked at the contours of the highest areas of pollution, and the worst area is actually, was it the post office on Snenton Dale, I think, was about the highest area. So basically, Snenton gets the most of the fallout from Eastcroft, and obviously it then spreads out.
I went to a meeting last night, Citywide Tenants Forum. What came up was the centre was Eastcroft meeting, you know, St Anne's and around there. This came up, didn't it? I did put one in chat about it. I said, well, you know, what about the incinerator? I said, if you're going to have more heating and this sort of thing, and what about the toxic waste and this sort of thing? That's an issue for tomorrow, you know. I said, see, the reason why they haven't come in this morning is they're trying to be put on the clock, haven't they?
Yeah. On the point of the heat, by the way, one of the arguments that the City Council and Waste Recycling Group will say is it's brilliant, we're burning all this weight and recovering all this energy and we're saving fossil fuels. What they don't tell you is if you actually recycle it, you save far, far, far more fossil fuels. The amount of energy you need to, you know, if you burn plastics, you burn... Metal goes in there, glass goes in there. You need to replace those raw materials. You've got to mine them, you've got to transport them, you've got to purify them. You need huge amounts, far more energy than you ever recover from incineration. And incinerators aren't designed to recover energy. They're designed to burn waste. They're very inefficient. So the actual amount of energy that's recovered is absolutely pitiful compared to the energy you would save and the pollution you would save and the fuel you would save if it was recycled. And as the guy who left earlier mentioned, that the vast majority of it isn't used anyway, it's dumped because the City Council can't sell it.
Sorry. You were indicating?
Yes, I make points that in our modern world with the high technology that is improving time on time, every 18 months computers double in their speed and half in their size. Waste Recycling Group, I've heard, were planning on using the exact same technology that is currently there for the new plants. Nothing new, nothing improved, the old stuff. Now, yeah. Is that true?
Well, basically, when the plant was built, it had got two lines. It was big enough to build a third line, and this was built in 1972. So they could come along and build a modern advanced incinerator, a fluidised bed, all these different types with low emissions. And if we're going to have an incinerator, you're better off having, like you just pointed out, a more modern incinerator. We would argue we don't need an incinerator, but okay, if you are going to have one, let's have a modern incinerator. But WRG, their plan, they want to build an existing incinerator as the two that are already built, because it's going to save them huge amounts of money. It's got to comply with the latest regulations, so they have to carry out modifications which they've carried out on the previous two lines. But what you're talking about is 1950s technology.
1950s.
Can I just add to that as well? When the EA raised the idea about the technology of making the new incinerator, the new line, advanced technology or current technology, they replied by saying, well, it would cost us too much money, we'd have to retrain our staff.
Retraining?
That was their issue. That was their big issue with that question.
I've got two comments, really. One of them, to the council and to the EA, personally, I'd like to make the council aware that my local doctor, I live in Stenton, and he told me that from the years that he's been working here, he has reasons to believe that the children and people around here suffer from respiratory illnesses because of the incinerator. But it's impossible to gain the evidence because it's all mixed up with all the other pollution that we've got around. But that's his belief. He's not financially motivated, he's not politically motivated, he's just looking at the health of people in Stenton. The second comment is about what you said about the chimney being broken, because it's interesting, and it hasn't smoked this weekend, it didn't smoke last week, but it smokes the weekend. It tends to smoke in the evening, doesn't it, weekend?
I'd just like to address both those points. The first point about health impacts. Environment Agency and WRG will say there's no evidence whatsoever to say that this incinerator is cause adverse effects on human health. Well, you know, you don't need to be a doctor to know that breathing in cadmium and thallium and all these heavy metals is going to hurt you. But it's very difficult. Yes, there's no evidence out there that says that these people here caught cancer or respiratory diseases or asthma or heart disease from that incinerator. But there is mountains and mountains and mountains of evidence that has shown that people who live near incinerators or work near incinerators, there is massive increases in various diseases and respiratory problems. On the second point, I forgot what it was now.
Smoking at weekends.
Sorry, on that point, yes, about there's a lot of people mention about at weekends they see the visible smoke. There's people say that at weekends there's an acrid smell. Going back to this, we've raised that with the Environment Agency. I receive all the emails, but I've been inundated with emails, people saying the weekend the chimney went black, or there's this horrible smell, my car's covered in muck. We told the Environment Agency, we've had no complaints. You know, what we've got to do is, when that happens, phone the Environment Agency. They'll say, well, it's not the incinerator, but it's up to them to find out whether it is or not. Phone the Environment Agency, tell them you've got there's a smell, tell them the stack's black, tell them all the information, find out who you spoke to, get their name, say, will you phone me back, you contact me, and you tell me what you found. Put the onus on them. At the moment they're saying, well, we've had no complaints, so thank you for that. Probably because the wind blows the opposite way.
We asked them the same question.
The Environment Agency have got massive powers which they can apply if they want to. Basically, every incinerator in the country breaches its emissions. And I don't think any has ever been prosecuted. The problem is that the Environment Agency is a government body, a regulator. It's supposed to be independent. The government is really in the trouble, really in trouble of all the problem we've got with waste. You know, we send far too much to landfill. Our recycling is absolutely pitiful. And it's got a huge problem. 450 million tonnes of waste we produce a year. And it's trying to encourage incineration. The government just announced recently it wants to triple the amount of incineration. And the Environment Agency are a government body. That is my belief. You know, they have powers. They can go and they can shut the place down. But whenever we have carried out a protest, whenever we've been on the radio or the TV, the Environment Agency have always come out and spoke in favour of waste recycling group.
So they're not in favour of public health, improving the public health?
You'd believe so by the name. I wish they was here to answer that. So lady at the back. Yeah, thank you. Some very good points there. Where do I start? You have to stand slightly. At the moment, the problem at the moment is that it's a planning application by Waste Recycling Group. It's not the City Council's. It's not the City Council's decision to build this third line. But regarding the existing incinerator, totally agree. We have approached the City Council. We've asked them, you know, we've got this great big long contract. It doesn't run out till 2032. And we were initially ignored. And I think things are changing. They've realised we're getting publicity. They're realising we've got a voice. And we're seeing various things in the papers now of they've announced the fact they want to increase the recycling rates. John Collins, the leader of the Labour Council, with his Labour hat on, not his council hat on, has said that they don't support the third line. Previously, the Labour Council have been very much in favour of the incinerator. In fact, Councillor Brian Grewcock, quoted in the Evening Post, said that the incinerator is clean and environmentally friendly. Several months ago. So I think as the campaign grows and as people protest more and write more, I think the City Council will listen more. But at the moment, it would be a massive step for them to sever the contract. But absolutely, what we want to do is stop this third line being built. There's absolutely no need for this third line. And Neil will be here for a lot longer. If we succeed in stopping this third line, we will continue. And the next thing is, we want the Environment Agency to bring the current incinerator to task and prosecute, or force them to comply with their legal requirement, and also then obviously continue to put pressure on the City Council to improve recycling and hopefully aim to phase out the existing incinerator.
Just on your zero waste point as well, I can't answer any of that, but there is one city that won't be giving their waste to WRGE, and that's Doncaster, which is a zero waste city. And part of the questions that I've been asking in my letters to the committee and the council and everybody else is, you know, if Doncaster can do it, then why can't Nottingham? You know, how hard is it, really? You know.
Sorry, if you mind waiting a bit, you've asked a couple, there's quite a few other people, thank you.
It wasn't about zero waste or whatever. A few years ago I joined the Association of Environmentally Conscious Builders, and discussion last night, a meeting or whatever, with a guy in did a lot of work in Woking on recycling or whatever, and Ken Livingstone now got him into London or whatever to do a lot of work or whatever. And there's also a big scheme in, called Bedset down in London or whatever, environmentally friendly to people or whatever, and that aim basically is zero waste. And just to go on to another thing, I remember going through town today and I saw a big advert on the back of one of the city transport buses. Jobs I was interested in, street wardens, city council, it said community protection. Where's community protection?
Thank you.
I don't mean to act as a devil's advocate, because I do believe in what we're trying to do here, but I do feel there is an issue that if we're not careful, it can be very easy for us to start going around in circles and talking about things we would like rather than things that we can achieve. Now, it's all incredibly logical, the point you made earlier about the increase in technology, but whilst definitely the government are setting guidelines, that's what companies will operate under. What we've got to realise is, without any evidence, it can be very easy for any company, no matter what you're talking about, to turn around and put the hysterical label on people. And that's what we've got to really try and avoid. The basis of this argument that we've really got to be clear and try and target is political and economic. I actually work for the City Council in the Education Department. I was just on the website today, brought up the City Council vision statement, working for a safer, cleaner, ambitious Nottingham. Now, if we can't use those lines to turn around and fight the council on the arse, I don't know what we're doing.
And on that point, the same City Council website, if you go to their link, I don't know whether it's been repaired, but if you go to their link under recycling, it says page not found. Thank you.
There was some consultation that government were asking about. I can't remember, I'm sorry, the full information, but I believe it was on the DEFRA website, the Department for Food and Regional Affairs. And it's something about the waste strategy consultation. And I'm sorry, but I can't remember. If you look on the DEFRA website, there is something where you can consult about this type of government regulations, government levels and everything else. And it is about us saying, you know, well, if you're, like Anna was saying, you know, if you do burn at this temperature, then shouldn't you be burning way down here? You know, not just because that's what the regulation is. But there is consultation at the moment, I think, and it's about us trying to find out from our councillors, you know, what can we do? What are you going to help us get involved in?
So the issue at the moment, obviously, is what we're facing at the moment, which is the third line, and we have to tackle that. The planning process is a legal process, and we've got sample letters, which the reasons behind why we believe that the City Council can't give permission to the third line. So at the moment it is a legal process, it's not policy at the moment.
Are there any councillors here?
I think one left a little while ago, actually. Somebody, I think there was.
So not quite a day.
Well, the guy who left earlier with a suit, I think, is a candidate.
We've asked to meet with the prospective Conservative councillors in Sherwood recently because they're quite interested in what we're doing and they're quite keen about finding out more. They were going to go and ask WRG as well what they thought about the expansion. But part of what we need to make this into as well, I don't think we've mentioned this yet, is it needs to be made into an election issue. I don't think that really the Labour group or anybody else really feels like it's an election problem at the moment. Depending on how we get on, obviously, with this proposed expansion, the incinerator itself needs to be made into an election issue. If you're not happy with what your councils are doing, and the incinerator has a big part of that, then make it a problem for them. Contact the committee, contact your local councillor, tell them what your thoughts and your concerns and your questions are. Ask them what they think, because a lot of them don't know.
Probably will.
Well, I stand in Lady Bay as a Green Party candidate, and I haven't yet been elected, but Sue Blount, who I stood with, was. She's on Rushford. We have a very high rate.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it counts worth when people actually vote for us.
Does
the
lady
at
the back?
Sorry? Please keep in touch with us if you haven't signed up by the website, and we appreciate that everybody's got access to internet. Please leave your details. There's a form here. There's one at the back. BBC Radio Nottingham are going to try and reschedule this debate and have a proper debate with Waste Recycling Group, the City Council, and the planning officer. So they're trying to reorganise that. And if they do, then obviously we'll know about it. It'll be advertised. But we will carry on. This is our second public debate, and obviously depends on what happens. We will no doubt be having more, because either way, no matter what happens with this decision, whether they get the go-ahead or not, we will fight on. You know, if they get planning permission, we do not believe they can do. They haven't complied with certain government policy. We believe they can't give it planning permission. But if they do, we've still got certain things that we can do. If it doesn't get permission, then obviously we've got to fight the existing incinerator, and we've got to encourage the City Council to improve the appalling recycling facilities and the appalling recycling rate. Sorry, the hand at the back. I can see a hand in the corner. Oh, sorry.
Yes, please. They were invited.
Yeah,
they were invited.
Absolutely.
Here, you know.
Write to them and send a copy to the Evening Post. Write to the Evening Post. In fact, there's a reporter here tonight.
They weren't just invited. They did actually agree to come.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And
they,
having agreed to come, and we, on the basis of that, getting some leaflets done, they then pulled out.
We've asked that. Obviously, we've got limited resources. We've had a load of flyers printed. We've delivered a load of flyers. A various group of people giving up their weekend to deliver the flyers at our cost. The problem is the Environment Agency are blaming the City Council. The City Council, we believe, are blaming the Environment Agency, but the City Council haven't responded. So, no, we would like repping the money back for what we spent, but.
So they got you here, which is great. So
absolutely,
you know a bit
yeah.
more about the campaign, so it's not the end of the world, but we would like to have seen them, of course. Yeah, absolutely. And all we can do is apologise on their behalf, which I don't like doing, to be honest.
True.
You put on a very nice display, and you're all very eloquent. One criticism I have is
absolutely, thank you very much. Thank you. Yes, sorry.
Yeah, before you go.
Well, actually, I was just standing in the doorway.
Case in point, right. The election, when I heard about it in the post first, I had a chap from my speaker. So I wrote to A, the chap who was in control of the planning department. I wrote to, the chief executive of Nottingham City Council. I wrote to Arnold, Mr. Ferguson, and I wrote to Rushton. Right?
There's a list on there that counts as they're the most important people to,
yeah,
to write to.
I didn't reply for any of them.
No.
That's what, yesterday, when I went to the Citywide Tenants Forum, they were all invited to go to the incinerator to see how it works.
Okay.
Being
or how it doesn't work. So there's a hand up the back.
This lady here has all the banners.
Speak to Elsa.
Yeah, if any of you do want to put any banners up, if you want small ones, get them up to you in the cafe. And but yeah, the more, basically, the more banners we get, the more we have to support the show in the centre, the more we're telling the council that we don't agree with this, as the people. This is what it's about, the people's campaign. And we're telling, you know, the environment agency that we don't agree with their decision.
Ideally, we want to get those banners across the city, not just the sentence, not just a sentence thing, but right across the city. So if you've got space, then, you know.
We can make them, but if you've got a position, then let us know. So there's a hand somewhere down the middle.
So if you want to come and make them, you can come and make them as well.
Oh, yeah, even better.
Yeah.
There's a hand up round on this, on the left-hand side. With somebody scratching their head. No? Any more questions?
Oh, John.
Yeah, I think it's a great campaign. I think the key challenge is they're going to start emerging more and more chemicals and particles that are even more dangerous and they can't regulate them. But for example, nanotechnology, if we then stop them from going now, there's no way they've got that at all.
Yeah, thank you very much. Good point.
I was in the Southside Bar a couple of weeks ago for a county game and I was collecting money on behalf of a different charity, and while I was there I had my nail petition and I approached these guys who were sitting down and I said to them, donate to the thing when you see me, you know, in the county ground, but while you're here, sign my petition. And the thing that hangs people in a lot in this city, not just at the county ground but a lot across the city, we don't want Derby's waste. It's the one thing that will get someone to sign that petition, and I'm happy with that, but it's right, it's about bringing it in and burning it. If we can't manage our own waste, why would we have it? But that's a good idea. Are you going to come and stand with us?
It's absolutely important that we all go out there and we all spread the message, tell everybody. I mean, we are succeeding, as you can, we can tell tonight, most people have already have heard of Nail. When we started this campaign in 2002, when basically, it was me and Nigel and a few others, and it was basically protesting against an existing incinerator which constantly breached its emissions limits. It was rated the fifth worst incinerator in the country by Greenpeace. It's now been promoted to the worst. Met loads of people who had no idea that it was an incinerator. We took a petition around the cattle market, you know, where they have the market on a Saturday. We went up to one guy and said, we'd like to sign this petition, you know, to get the city council to recycle more and stop incineration. It's just, what incinerator? That huge thing that's dwarfing you. Beginning of this campaign, a lot of people, the vast majority of Nottingham, didn't even know there was an incinerator in Nottingham, let alone the fact that it wants to expand. And there's still people out there that don't know, so we've got to get that message out. So please, if you're on Nail Mail, forward the email onto people and ask them to come to the website and click onto the button that puts them on the mailing list, or get their details to us any way they can and spread the message around. And that's how, you know, how we've become so effective, by getting the message out.
What about diseases?
We need loads and loads of volunteers. We've got some volunteers in Snenton, and most of the leafleting we do is in Snenton. This is the most affected area, like I say, because the wind generally comes this way. But we need far more people out there. Waste Recycling Group, obviously they're going to make millions if they get... Well, they're already making millions. If they get the go-ahead, they'll make substantially more. they send out, when they send out their propaganda, it goes out, their lovely old propaganda, this lovely incinerator, it's going to stop all this rubbish going to landfill, we're saving all this energy, you know, this absolute propaganda. When they send it out, they send it out to 11,000 homes, and they send it out on a regular basis, and that's what most people are reading. The problem is, we're a volunteer group, we survive on coppers. When we do a leaflet run, we might be lucky to distribute 1,000. So, and we can send more out. We have funds to produce more leaflets. And by the way, ours is on recycled paper, which Waste Recycling Groups isn't, despite the name Waste Recycling Group. We need more people, and if you can help in any way, whether it's a tiny contribution, whether it's just handing flyers down your street or what, we need all the help we can get. So please, you know, leave your details, contact us, speak to us after the meeting, or contact us in any way.
We were in, Rossington Street the other day. That's a long road. You know, two people did that pretty easily, but that is a hell of a long road. If just one person does that street with us, we're away. It's that kind of support. We just want little bits at a time, or lots of time. You know, anything you like, we're more than grateful for.
If everybody here did a little bit, this campaign would be massive, far bigger than it is now. So.
What about Rushcliffe? If it gets a strong wind.
Right. Okay. Regarding pollution, obviously it affects the whole of Nottingham and beyond.
Yeah.
The prevailing wind is generally this way. It sometimes blows the other way. I live in West Bridgford. I get it as well. But generally, the prevailing wind is this way.
Yeah. And I wanted to do it because I've always done it all my life.
Okay.
There's the issue as well that people that live outside the city think that it's not a problem.
Well, it is, I'm sure.
Yeah, of course.
Problem.
Yeah, of course. But they'll think that they recycle in Rochester, so it's okay. Are there any more questions?
Sorry.
That's generally the point that anyone who is not wind of the current incinerators will be upwind the ponds built in the future,
yes,
unless we stop it now.
Yeah. Absolutely.
There's a proposed incineration in Mansfield, in case you aren't aware of that.
If things go the way they are, if Waste Recycling Group get the go-ahead to build this incinerator here and Onyx get the go-ahead to build their incinerator in Forest Town in Mansfield, Nottinghamshire will be incinerating 500,000 tonnes of waste a year. We'll be the rubbish dump of Britain. We've got a committee meeting this week, by the way, and we need more people. You don't have to be an expert. None of us were, and we're still not, but, you know, we're on a huge learning process. If anybody wants to join us and discuss the way our ways forward, please see us as well afterwards. Any more questions?
Can I just say I've got loads of samosas?
What's that? Sorry, can we just wrap up then? So, sorry, just 2 seconds. So, thank you very much. I'll just be very brief, and then you can stuff yourself on samosas. Please leave your details, contribute if you can, and help yourself to any of the leaflets. Thank you.
Taken to the ground.
The lady,
we could have the
ground
at all of
the
interested in doing like fishing outside the city ground or?
We've got a committee meeting on Thursday. Okay. It's Lord Nelson, about 7 o'clock. I'll put it down as a suggestion. We've got some ideas about the next campaign.
You're the expert then, how do you stop it?
We'll find out what the DC people say next week, but now that I'm going to say that.